and he saw my need. I want you to sing it now. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, the views of Rome where Jesus, oh, he died for you and me. Aren't you glad that he did, church? He looked beyond all our faults, and he saw our need. One more time. Well, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Just to died for you and me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond all my faults and saw my tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Have you been anticipating these services? Have you been praying about these services? We're fixing to have a time. We are fixing to have a time. Are you ready? Are you ready? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you take this opportunity? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in the house of God tonight. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. I shall forever lift mine eyes. Give me something. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're so glad to have you here. If you're visiting tonight with us, we're just liable to adopt you before you leave.
We've been known just to take out adoption papers on guys and gals and brothers and sisters. And just, well, we'd like to keep you, but we're so glad you're here tonight. You're welcome. We're glad you're here. And I believe God's going to give us a great time. I certainly do. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. We've got just a few. I'm going to ask you, if you will, just stand with me. Brother Bill Yance is here. I want Brother Bill to come and get ready to lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. First of all, Brother Jesse's home. Jesse Altman. Praise the Lord. He's home from the Air Force. He did not re-enlist. He is home to stay. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Jesse, we're glad you're home, buddy. We've been thinking about you and praying for you. Sure appreciate you. Got a text today. Most of you may have heard about the earthquake in Mexico. They had to evacuate the building where Brother David Seiler and those were staying. I think it was a 7.5 earthquake. And we've been asked tonight to pray that safety would be for those folks there in Mexico. So let's just pray that the Lord would protect them. Let me make this announcement. Saturday morning, tomorrow morning at 9:30, we need all available local brothers to be at the pavilion. We're going to get ready for the fellowship tomorrow around 12 o'clock. Brother Donnie will probably be touching on that. But in the meantime, 9:30 in the morning, if you can be over there, let's get everything set up and ready for that. I want to pray for Sister Deanna Glenn. Her father passed away about 4 o'clock this morning. Her and Brother Jerry, they're there in Ohio at this time, so let's pray for them. Sister Linda Jablonski says, my dear precious brothers and sisters in Christ, please pray for my dad who lives in Florida. Pray that the Lord will give him salvation. Also pray for my sister Joanne, who has been taking care of him. He is now under hospice care. I really love and appreciate you, so we just commit that to the Lord. Brother Reese wants us to remember his 5-month-old grandson just having some digestive problems. Let's pray that the Lord would just be with that child and give him healing. I want to pray for Sister Shirley Robbins. She's in a lot of pain with her back tonight, so let's remember that. I want to remember Sister Linda Kennedy in prayer. Doctors have found a spot on her kidneys, and she will be having more tests done to see what that situation is. So let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Connie Cook sends this in for Sister Lisa Riddleball. I want to pray for her healing after injured in a fall yesterday while hiking. She has a broken toe, broken bones in her arm, plus a lot of cuts and bruises. They should be releasing her today. Also want to pray for Brother Don Riddleball and that family, that the Lord would just be with them. Sister Jane Terrell's family is requesting prayer. Her aunt passed away, so let's pray for that need. Brother Junior is not feeling good at this time, feeling quite poorly. Hasn't been feeling well all week. Really needs all the believers to hold him up in prayer. So let's certainly pray for Brother Junior that the Lord would touch him. And this is just another note on behalf of Brother Jerry. Sister Deanna, pray for a lady by the name of Ivy Hill who has cancer and is facing surgery. Brother Chuck Saminsky sends that in. Brother Wes Willis, pray for his healing from high blood pressure. Also, my brother Joe Green was hit by a car last night. He's in the hospital in stable condition. Thank you for believing with me for the healing. May God bless you. So let's pray for that need tonight. Also, Brother Richard Baker, homesick, needs a touch from the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We're serving an almighty God, aren't we? You believe that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Bill, God bless you as you lead us tonight on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord.
If I wouldn't be out of order, I'd like to add something to my testimony. The doctor's just done the major surgery on my nose. Had to order all my medical records, and I didn't know this. I was dead for 5 hours, and God brought me back. So, so I've had a light Friday and a bright Sunday. So pray with me. Master Jesus, you're the Almighty God. You're the life giver. You're the great divine healer. No way, Lord, I could remember all these names that Brother Louis called out, but the master put them on record. It's all right now in his hand. I'm just here to lead these people in prayer. And I believe in God can do anything. You can heal cancer, heart problems, financial needs, broken homes. You can bring revelation to us. And that's what we're doing here tonight, God, is to hear the voice of your word cry out to us. As you speak to us from your word, come and manifest your glory in the house. Let the Holy Ghost come down, God. And all the advertisement and things that we've saw this week, let it bring in a new soul, God. I pray that your name would be lifted up and glorified. We look forward now, God, to what you're going to do tonight. And we praise you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. Like I said a while ago, if you're visiting with us tonight at this service, we certainly welcome you. Glad you're here. All those that are streaming tonight, I pray this service will be a blessing to them. Brother Dwight Hall is here tonight. He's going to be giving us a song. Brother Dwight, I don't know where you're at, but if you'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. He has a new CD, brand new CD that he's recorded. They have these in the library, and you're going to get one of these tonight free of charge. One per family. One per family. Brother Dwight's left these in the library. Just go by and pick it up. And he says he believes the hand of the Lord is really, really on this CD. It's really touched it. So we're glad to have our brother, aren't we? Hey, buddy. God bless you. We're glad to have you. Get ready to sing. Amen. Before he sings, let's sing. He'll help us, I'm sure. But let's sing this song tonight. When the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You may have your fingernails, your toenails dug in, but if God says move, you're going to move. You are going to move. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him another hand clap of praise. You've got to move. You've got to move. Oh, you've got to move. You've got to move. Now when the Lord gets ready, oh, you've got to move. You've got to move. Oh, you've got to move. You've got to move. Now when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. Well, they threw old Daniel in the lion's den. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Brother Dwight, come. bless us with a song. Give him a nice hand tonight. Brother Dwight comes to sing for us. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
I used to be a caterpillar and thought my world had come to an end. Then I turned into a butterfly when I heard Revelations 10. This is called The Last Cowboy. The Last Cowboy. This last cowboy rode with the seven angel band. The main one he rode with was the great Son of Man. To tell him all the secrets of the things that we should know. This last cowboy showed us the way to go. Many cowboys rode before him, preaching through the land. But there was things that they did not understand. Revelation 10:1-7, heaven it came down. Yes, this last cowboy rode with the seven angel band. Thank you, Jesus. It's not a question of who's right or who is wrong. The trail boss holds the words of life and he knows the song. The song of all the ages, death and life are in his hand. And he spoke through the lips of this cowboy preacher man. I wish I had the words to say of just how I feel. All I know is something happened to me that is real. It changed my life completely. I've never been the same. I gladly take my stand with the seven angel band. This last cowboy rode with the seven angel band. The main one he rode with was the great Son of Man. To tell him all the secrets of the things that we should know. This last cowboy showed us the way to go. This last cowboy showed us the way to go. This last cowboy showed us the way to go.
That's right.
I kept hearing somebody say, it's Friday. Well, I'm going to tell you something about Friday. He tried to tell you, but I'm going to tell you something about Friday. They crucified my king on Friday. But in crucifying the great king, he did us a favor. Because we was in bondage and enslaved by the devil. And he didn't know by sending my great king to hell, he was setting me free. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Yes, it's Friday, but there was a lot of trouble going on down there. They got this man called Jesus down there in hell, and they thought he was finished. But that was just the beginning. I want to tell you something special about hell tonight. Something about special about hell is that the mighty conqueror went down there and heard demons screaming. In entombment, the prophet of God said that when he was passing through those dimensions on Friday, said he heard some screaming going on. And said he recognized that screaming, and when they were screaming and hollering, he slammed the door and kept passing by. Went right on down into the depths of hell, but there were some folks up just a little higher in paradise. Abraham and Sarah and them recognized that great voice. And that great voice told them, just be still. I'll be back in a minute. And it went right on down into the low pits of hell where the king of hell lived at. The king of hell was laying back and his reporters came back. You know, news told us of the total news while his reporters went back. And they saw his body laying in the tomb. And Satan said, do we have him? They said, the last time we seen him, he was still on ice. But little did they know he done left that body and then broke through two dimensions of hell and come into Satan's door. He tried to be a gentleman about it and he tapped on the door and Satan acted like he couldn't hear. So he kicked the door open. That's my king. That's your king. That was on Friday. Oh, what a discussion went on. He laid the law down to the devil. He let him know, you tormented my people long enough. You brought sickness on them. You fought them from one end to the other. But today on Friday, I'm here to tell you it's over now. I am the mighty conqueror. I am the one that they crucified. I'm the one that was in the Garden of Eden. I am that virgin born baby child. I'm here to set my people free. Tonight you are free. And if you bound because you want to be bound. Let the true bride say amen. He leaves them a final message. He takes his keys from him. You scared of a man that don't have keys to his own house. He kicked his teeth out of Calvary. He can't do nothing but gum you to death. He have no keys. He have no teeth. He got no power. And you scared of him. We don't have to be afraid anymore. Because he did it all just for me. How many love the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. I'm like Brother Louis. We come in to have a good time. And we can do it tonight. It starts in you. Don't wait on nobody else. You own little prayer tower. It is so great to be here again. So great to be here. I will tell you, your pastor looked real good. The devil thought he had him whipped, but he better take another look. He better take another look. Because when you come against one of God's little teeny ones, you got the whole host of heaven and the bride on earth gonna get you. So it's good to see my friend and his church doing great. I appreciate y'all for having us up, but we coming back. I'm going to ride this trail again. July, we coming back with even a bigger force. We ain't through yet. We're going to let Tennessee know that there's some black folks in the South loves Tennessee. It's good to have Brother Benny Perry. We'll just give Brother Benny Perry and his group a hand. It's good to have Brother Belton with us from Columbia and his group. Let's give them a hand. We got a little small group that has come over. Heard I was coming this way from Atlanta, Georgia. Brother Ross and his family, will you give them a hand? We have many, many more on the road coming tonight, again in the night and in the morning. We're looking to have a great time. But we can't wait on them. We got to get this thing started now. Amen. I'd like to tell you about a very special person with me that's been with me for 38 years. She is my queen. She's my best friend outside of Jesus. She's my helpmate. And without her, I don't even think I'd get up to Tennessee. She has to guide me every turn, and she drove all the way up here for about 30 miles. I'd like to introduce you to them with the greatest woman on the planet, Sister Beatrice Mothers. Would y'all give her a hand? Come on up and sing "Who Made the Mountains." This song was sung when we was just getting started in the message. I want my wife to come sing it. And I know he can play for us. I tell you, he been knowing me a long time. Come on, sing "Who Made the Mountain" for us. Y'all give a hand. That she been hurting. She'll see if she come sing for us. Summer Life Tabernacle with us tonight. Brother Elisha and his wife, Brother Chisholm's son who's coming, Sister Georgia, this self. Let's give Life Tabernacle a hand for coming. That's my queen.
God bless everybody. We have so many more beautiful songs I want to hear from everybody else, but I guess I'll do this for you. Who made the mountain? Who made the trees? Who made the rivers draw into the seas? And who hung the moon in the starry skies? Somebody bigger than you. Ooh, and he lights the way when the road is long, and he'll keep you composed. With me, yeah. When I am weary, filled with despair, who gives me courage to go on from there? And who that will never, never doubt? Somebody bigger than you. Ooh, ooh, and I.
From Columbia, she didn't know I was going to call her, but from Columbia, South Carolina, come on, Sister Lisa, and give us a song tonight. Give her a hand from Brother Belton Church, Sister Lisa.
God bless you. You're right. I didn't know he was going to call me. Woo. Give you all the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship and I bless your holy name.
I guarantee you, there ain't no one else like him. Amen. At this time, we're getting close to wind down. I'm going to ask Sister Flemings from Brother Benny Perry Church to come give us a song. Give her a hand as she comes.
Praise the Lord, saints. I never thought a king would leave his throne forgive me of all my sins and never leave me alone. Never be the same. Whoa, whoa, you never be the same. Never be the same. Today. He came to change your name. You might limp away, but we'll never be the same. never be the same. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same.
Ready for the word. Amen. You know, I'd like to tell you something a little bit about this young man. I met him some years ago. His name is Brother Jack Duff. He's from Florida. There's a lot of places in Florida, but I keep forgetting the little city he's from. West Palm, Florida. While I was up there, he's a singer and a preacher. So I think y'all enjoy him tonight. Let's stand and sing Amazing Grace and let's have Brother Jack to come.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but at home. Hey.
Water or Gatorade? Praise God. Praise
come on, let's sing it one more time. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated, amen, just for a bit, I hope. I just wanted to say it's my privilege to be here in fellowship with you all on this Good Friday evening. And truly it is a Good Friday. Amen. Because our Jesus rose from the grave. Who wouldn't serve a God like ours? Amen. So glad to be on the Lord's side. Amen. Thankful for your pastor, Brother Donnie Reagan. Amen. Just having us here tonight. And it's just good to be in fellowship. I was requested to sing a song. And amen. I'm going to try to sing a song. Just put me in the key of C. And just let me just greet just a little bit more. And I'll hear that and I'll get started in a little bit. But I bring you greetings from our church back in West Palm Beach, Florida. Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, my wife, my children, and the entire church. We're connected. We're one heart. Amen. Just another part of the body down south. Amen. And, you know, next time I pray that I'll be able to bring a few more of them with me just to be in fellowship here with you. Amen. I thank God for Brother Fred Mullins as well. Amen. Just his friendship and just all that he's doing. Amen. Behind the scenes, we just appreciate him. Tonight, I've come to do one thing, and that's just to talk about Jesus. I hope that's all right. God sent his son. No. Gotta follow me. They called. There you go. Him Jesus. He came to save, heal, and forgive. I want you to think about it tonight. He bled and he died just to buy my pardon. And empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. I like that. I want to say it again. I said, God sent his son, and they called him Jesus. He came to save, heal, and forgive. He bled, he died just to buy my. Tonight, because an empty grave. Come on, somebody. I said an empty grave. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Hallelujah. It's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Yes, I can. Because he lives. Hallelujah. Oh, all fear is gone. Oh, just yeah, because he lives.
Jesus. Come on, somebody help me sing tonight. Well, because he lives. Oh, yes, I can face tomorrow. Oh, yes, I can. Because he lives. Well, all fear is gone. Oh, say, because I know. Oh, he holds my future. Oh, yes, he does. Everybody sing and say. Jesus. Father, it's because you live that we can face tomorrow. Doesn't matter what we're going through right now. We have hope in our hearts because of what you did some 2,000 years ago. If you could change the way man feels about death, then you can change anything. So Lord, we love you tonight. We worship you. We gather under your precious name. There's no other reason why we come together. It's because of what Jesus did. That's why we gather here tonight. And God, we just want to pause and just say, thank you, Jesus. If you hadn't gone to that cross, where would we be tonight? I'm so grateful, Lord, for the price that was paid for my sin. If you didn't do it for anybody else, you did it all for me. We pray your blessings, God, upon the word tonight. As we would just, Lord, embark just to talk a little bit about you tonight. And I invite you to come in. Join the conversation tonight. Speak to our hearts. Bring deliverance. Let the Holy Spirit fill somebody. There's one that's not saved and does not know you're in the partner of sin. We pray tonight would be their night. If there's a backslider in our midst, we pray that a rededication would take place tonight. This is resurrection season, and we pray somebody would be resurrected from whatever it is that they're struggling with. bless our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. While you're standing, let's get our Bibles and we'll read two passages of Scripture. First will be Luke chapter 4. And starting at verse 16, man, Luke chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Also, just want to greet all the other ministers, amen, of the gospel here tonight. Thank God for Brother Benny Perry. Saw Brother Belton earlier. Saw the ministers of the gospel here. We greet you in Jesus' name. Luke 4:16 says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Let's turn also to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Praise the Lord. And it reads as follows, says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Our thought for tonight, amen, is it's time to release a prisoner. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just bear with me tonight as we just try to walk through a couple of things. Amen. The prophet made this statement, and Zacchaeus, the businessman, he's talking about Zacchaeus. He's Zacchaeus, businessman here tonight. Remember, you cannot hide under fig leaves. He knows just exactly where you're sitting. He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows your name. He knows why you're here. He knows all about it. That's right. And we who have met him and know him and become his disciples, we know what he is and what he does for the people. We know that he remains the same. Zacchaeus, come down in a penitent attitude. He said, if Lord, if I have cheated any man, I'll pay it back. I'll take my money, I'll give to the poor. See, he had already found that pearl of great price. He had found something that was more than his business. He had found something that something. And all men tries to achieve something, but if you lose eternal life, what all your achievement done for you? And I love this statement right here. Brother Branham says, the greatest treasure that a man can find is to find release. The greatest treasure that a man can find is to find release. Now, I believe it's Easter season. Amen. And it's resurrection time. And I, just growing up in church for quite some time and just being a part of services, I know people come to church with different things, amen, in their lives that they're dealing with. Amen. I know that there's some people that come with those struggles and there's some people, amen, that leave with the same struggles. Hallelujah. Amen. But I come tonight, amen, with one objective, and that's to see God's people set free from whatever it is that they're troubled with. Amen. The quote just said, God knows you. He knows who you are. He knows what you've been doing. He knows where you went last week. He knows where you're going next week. God knows all about you. God knows the things that you're struggling with. Maybe the pastor don't know. Maybe your neighbor doesn't know. Maybe mama doesn't know. Maybe daddy don't know. But God knows tonight. And the greatest treasure that a man can find or a woman can find tonight is to find release. And I'm here to declare it is time to release a prisoner. Now, I want you to just bear with me here. It's time to release a prisoner. Amen. And notice I made that singular, not plural. Amen. It's time to release a prisoner, not prisoners. Right? Because if we put it plural, then you might put it off on somebody else. Amen. But you know, I don't know about you, but if I were in chains tonight, amen, and I was in bondage, if all of us were locked up in some cell tonight and they came in and said, you know what, we're going to release a prisoner. I'm sorry to say that I would become a little selfish at that point. Right? Amen. I would be happy to have fellowship with you. I'd be happy to meet you and get to know your name and know all about your family, but they're talking about somebody going free. And if I had to make the choice whether it was going to be me or you, I would become selfish. And I'd say, I'm going to be that prisoner that's going to be released. Amen. I'm coming out of whatever it is that I'm bound in. I'm coming out, not tomorrow. I'm coming out tonight. The greatest treasure I could find is to find release. Now, release, what it means is to allow or enable to escape from confinement. To allow or enable to escape from confinement, to set free. Now, understand something. When we're talking about liberty in church, and you know, Jesus made it so plain there when we just look back there at Luke 4. You know, Jesus went to church. We're so glad that that's our example. All right, now. Amen. Now, you know, I don't know where we're going to cut, how we're going to, you know, get by with that by not going to church. When we have to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, I went to church. And not only did I go to church, but the Bible said it was his custom. That means he didn't just show up to the Easter services. Huh? If Jesus was living today, next Sunday, Jesus would be in church. Wednesday night, Jesus would be in church. Saturday night, Jesus would be in church. It was a custom for Jesus to go to church. And when he went to church, he took a text. They gave him the Bible and he took a text. And you know, when I look at this, you know, it was no deep mysteries. But he stands up and he takes the Bible and he turns to the book of Isaiah and he begins to read. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, that's not people with no money in their pocket or no money in their bank. That's not what he's talking about. But oftentimes, amen, when we're in church and serving the Lord, we can become poor in spirit. And every once in a while, God have to bring something to uplift your spirit. And the gospel came to do that. Amen. So if you find yourself poor in spirit tonight, I pray that the gospel will lift your spirit. See? Amen. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Things happen in people's heart get broken, but God can mend the broken hearts tonight. Right? To preach deliverance to the captives. This is what Jesus wants to do. Preach deliverance to the captives. And I love this. Recovering of sight to the blind. I like that. Recovering of sight to the blind means that they used to be able to see. Oh my God. There are some things, amen, even in the message that people used to be able to see was wrong. But they get scales over their eyes and they can't see it anymore. So what Jesus has to do is come and preach recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the prophet told us that the greatest anointing that was ever on anybody was on Jesus when he picked up that scripture. Read it. And you know what he did after he read it? Sat down. And the prophet said that was the greatest anointing upon anybody because he identified himself in the scripture. And the good thing that I like about that, as we kept reading, Jesus looked at everybody as they was looking at him. And Jesus looked at them and he says, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Oh my. Now I believe that tonight somebody might say the exact same thing. When I heard that message about releasing the prisoner, that day, that message or that word that was spoken was fulfilled, not just in my ears, but in my heart and in my life. I am the prisoner that was released. Bondage comes in so many forms. Sickness is a bondage. Addictions. Bondage. So many types of addiction. Alcoholism. Oh, I know. It's in the message. It's in the message. Drug addiction. It's in the message. Pornography. It's in the message. Homosexuality. It's in the message. But Jesus come to set the prisoners free. Gambling. It's in the message. No matter what the addiction is, you can be freed from it tonight. I want you to understand something about deliverance. So I was just thinking on this. It's an attribute of God. And if you really just look at the scriptures really closely, you can see that way back in the parting of the Red Sea, God was trying to express this attribute of deliverance. When Daniel was inside of his lion's den, God wanted to express this attribute of deliverer. When the Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace, the prophet told us that he couldn't even send an angel. He had to come himself. Why? Because God wanted to express an attribute of deliverance. Oh, my. And even in scripture in the Old Testament, God put a certain law in place. And that law was around that if a man found himself in debt and had sold himself into slavery, that God put a law in place that the man could not, he might go in slavery, but he can't stay in slavery. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you might go into something, but you can't stay there as a son of God and as a daughter of God. There must come a day that you are delivered. And my question is, why not tonight? Hallelujah. They had the the Jubilee trumpet that they would sound, and when that priest would go and just begin to blow that trumpet, that man that was in bondage, it didn't matter how long he was out there, amen, working in the field, it didn't matter what the condition was, as soon as that man heard the trumpet, that man could stop doing everything that he was doing. He didn't have to worry about taking a whipping. He didn't have to worry about taking any lashes. He could stop doing whatever he was doing and go back to his family. Tonight, if you are hearing the gospel trumpet sound, you can stop whatever you're doing. You can stop your sinning. I said you can stop your sinning. You don't have to apologize to no devil. Tell the devil goodbye. I am free because Jesus Christ has set me free. And if I can borrow the words of Martin Luther King, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. It's time to release a prisoner. Joseph was in prison. Oh, he didn't enjoy it. I think I will take this off now. I don't think I know anybody that has ever gone to prison and really enjoyed it. I will say this, though. There's some people that get in prison and somehow get comfortable. They would come out from prison. Come out from prison and then go do something immediately to get in trouble so they can go back. Now they get comfortable because they get 3 meals a day, free television, huh? Free clothing. Everything that they got is free. All they got to do is just stay there behind those prison cells. And oftentimes I think we begin to get too comfortable with whatever the devil has given us. I never want to get comfortable with diabetes. I never want to get comfortable with cancer. That is Satan trying to put me in prison. And I'm looking for a word from the Lord that will release me as a prisoner. Joseph was in prison. And when the Pharaoh's, he had the butler and the baker come down and, they were thrown in and Joseph had been down there for a little bit, But, he didn't enjoy it. So when the dreams came forth and Joseph began to reveal the dreams, after he revealed the dream and said, now you're going to get promoted, you're going to go right back to your position. But when you get there, remember me. That's a man that actually does not enjoy prison. Now, we can say that God allowed him to go through that for a reason and for a season, to kind of work some things out in Joseph's life. We understand that. But Joseph did not enjoy being in prison. He was looking for a way to get out. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, we look at Paul and Silas. They were in prison. They didn't enjoy being there. They wanted to get out. They didn't know what to do to get out. So what they began to do was begin to worship God in the midst of their situation. And I want to tell you tonight, I don't care what you're going through, just begin to worship in the middle of what you're going through and watch God turn that situation around. Peter was in prison and was released. John was on the Isle of Patmos and he was released. This shows the attribute that was in God. He wants to see people released. Stay with me tonight. Stay with me tonight. If God did it back then, he still wants to do it today. Works is faith expressed. The prophet says, I had a dream the other morning. I don't dream very often. But I dreamed that I seen a man, a young fellow in shackles. And I like this part. He was trying to get out. Because see, everybody that's in bondage don't want to be in bondage. There's some people actually trying to get out. Oh, come on. That young person that might be in a relationship that they should not be in. Try to get out. Come on now. Amen. And I said, somebody told me those are horrible people. Don't have nothing to do with them. And I seen this young fella getting out of his shackles, so I just let him alone. I thought, I'll see what he does. So he got out. And he was a nice fella, and I seen others trying to get out. And I like that, because if you see a person get free, and you have the same condition that they have, it begins to give you confidence. It anoints your faith to believe that if God can do it for my brother, if God can do it for my sister, then that same God can do it for me. I won't take time to read the whole quote, but it's works as faith is expressed. I'll just kind of skip around a little bit. But, you know, Brother Branham was just kind of going on that quote. And, you know, and he was talking, and this lady approached him and said, Brother Branham, you misunderstood the people. Amen. And then it says, you misunderstood them. They misunderstood you. Say, now don't look at them that way. Don't look at them that way, Brother Branham. So Brother Branham said he saw the great big iron bars that the people were in bondage. And then they just couldn't get out. And as he was looking at the situation, and the lady said, please deliver the people. Help us. We need your help. And as they were begging, the prophet looked at it and said, there's nothing I can do with this situation. He said, all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord came in. A great light came in. And when that light approached, amen, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looked the prophet right in his eye. And he says, I'm expecting you to deliver those people. And when the Lord Jesus spoke that, he just turned and walked away. He said, now he's expecting me to deliver the people. How can I deliver those people? He began to wonder about it. How can I break the bars? I'm not strong enough to break those bars. What can I do to get those people out of that situation? So in this quote, the prophet said, so I said. Now I know I don't have strength to do this. But so I said, oh, hallelujah. And the message that I might bring tonight, it's not me that's going to bring deliverance. But I'm just going to preach what God told me to preach. And I'm joining with the prophet tonight. So I said, what did the prophet say? He said, house of hell, give way to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the prophet is not here tonight, but I'm here tonight. So I say, house of hell, give way in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loose God's people from their sickness. Loose them from their addictions. Loose them tonight in the name of Jesus. It shows that the dream that God gave the prophet is an attribute in God where he wants to see God, his people delivered. It's time to release a prisoner. Thank you, Jesus. House of hell, give way to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at this. Amen. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. The prophet says, and every man and woman here tonight who can recognize that this is the faith that we're preaching, the faith that you believe for years that was delivered to the saints first, that Jesus come to pardon you. And taking you out of prison cells of sickness and sin. Your pardon is freely signed. Christ signed it with his own blood. For he was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes we're healed. You're free. Where he signed it, where's he signed it? The book says so. 2,000 years and not one word has ever failed. And after 100 billion years roll on, she will still never fail. God once speaks, he can't take it back. I can speak and take it back. So can you. But he once speaks, it's settled forever. You're afraid. You don't have to be bound up in sin. You don't have to be bound up in sickness no more. That's true. Paul preached the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Jesus said that he came to preach deliverance to the captives. And there is many situations in scripture that we could just kind of go through. And at home, I've been working with a sermon, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And, you know, it's, you know, as I start preaching, I say, now I can't preach the greatest story ever told in one sermon. Very difficult to do that. But there was a definition that I found about the word story that I thought was very good. It says it's an account of past events in someone's life or in the evolution of something. Right? It's an account of past events in someone's life or in the evolution of something. So when I begin to look at the story of Ruth and Naomi, the events that took place in their life and how it just typed so perfectly. Boaz typing the Lord Jesus Christ, Ruth typing the bride. Huh? Amen. We can see the love of God all over that story. And what Boaz was doing to Ruth is what Christ has been doing to us. Joseph and his brothers, and amen, and the way that Joseph revealed himself to his brothers and all the things that he went through, it's what Christ has done and what Christ will do to the Jews. Abraham and sacrificing his only begotten son, Isaac, it was a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I'm telling their story, I am also telling his story. When I look in the scripture at different people that have been set free, my mind goes to that maniac in Gadara. That man did not want to be in that condition. And even though when Jesus pressed through, amen, a stormy sea, I just love the scripture, y'all. I just love it. But as Jesus got in the boat and went to sleep, sleeping while the storm is raging. Can you imagine that? Any of you all ever went to sleep while the storm was raging? Well, that's what your Lord did. Right? While the storm is just completely out of control, he is sleeping. The disciples walk up to him saying, Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? Why won't you get up and do something about this? And Jesus just kind of yawns maybe a little bit and walks out to the edge of the boat and put his foot out and says, peace be still. Not no long prayer, just peace be still. Turns around and goes back and goes to sleep. The disciples looked at this and said, what manner of man is this? Never seen nothing like this. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? That's my king. And as he presses through the stormy seas and he gets there to the other side, and this man that really didn't want to be in this condition, the first thing this man does when he sees Jesus is he goes to him and he starts to worship. I'm just going to talk about Jesus tonight. He walks up to him and he begins to worship him, and it just shows that there was something on the inside. That man was looking for an opportunity to be released from the things that had him bound. All of a sudden the demons begin to speak out of him, and you come to trouble us before our time. What's going on? And say, you know, just Jesus said, y'all just be quiet, be quiet. I'm not here to talk to y'all anyway. And as these demons are talking, Jesus said, what is your name? My name is Legion, and we are many. We are many. So as they're, you know, sitting there conversing, Jesus said, now, you know, they knew they only had about one or two more sentences. That was it. They knew their time was up. See, it was time to release a prisoner. There was a time of bondage, but then there's also a time of freedom. And that man was there and, you know, and just waiting and these demons just knew that our time is up and we got by one more sentence. So they asked the question, would you allow us, Jesus, to go into these swine? And you all probably already heard it, but I'm going to say it again tonight for those that might not have heard it. Said, can we go inside these swine? Said, Jesus said, yes. He gave them permission to go inside of a swine. Now, I got something to say tonight behind that. I've heard it preached many times, and I'm going to say the same thing that all the other preachers say. If demons could pray and get their request granted, what about the sons and daughters of God? He will move heavens and earth to make sure you get what you ask for. So don't be afraid to ask tonight. Those demons left that man that night, and that man went home and put on his clothes. Oh, he stopped cutting himself too. Young people do that. They need to be delivered from that. They at home cutting themselves when nobody else sees, but God sees it. And you don't realize that's a demon from hell trying to take your life. Anytime you see that, that is idol worship. Devil worship. Oh, you don't believe it? Well, let's go back to the prophet Elijah. The God that asked about fire, let him be God. What did those false prophets do? They cut themselves. Come on, people need to be delivered. It's time to release a prisoner. Hallelujah. That man was freed. And there's another time where this lady been coming to church for 18 years. Coming in a stooped down condition. Pressing her way into the house of the Lord. The good thing about it is that she pressed her way. Just because of a condition, she didn't stay home and feel sorry for herself. She pressed her way out into the house of the Lord. And she happened to go to church on the right day. See, you don't know what God gonna do and when he gonna do it. That's why it's good just to be in church. You can't plan and orchestrate the services. God is God. And he's in control. Hear this lady come in that day, and when Jesus saw her coming in the church, he called her to himself. And he looked at her and say, sister, you are loose from your infirmity. And the Bible says immediately. That's what I'm looking for tonight. Immediately. She rose. Amen. She stood up straight and she began to rejoice in what Christ had done for her. Somebody tonight gonna rejoice in what Christ has done for them. These were people that were set free. Prisoners that were set free. I could just go through so many others in the scripture that we look at, people that were bound but were set free. It was an attribute of God. I just love to tell the other story, and I'm gonna change gears in a second here for you. But I just want to talk about Jesus. The Bible says in, I believe it was Mark chapter 2, that they said Jesus had come to this city, and it was the second time he had come. Now, it's very important that we catch those words, because the first time Jesus came to that city, people were mesmerized. They couldn't believe, they'd never seen anything like this. So word began to spread about what Jesus had been doing.
So the next time he came to that city, people were ready, amen, with expectation that they had to get to the meeting. They had to be where Jesus was.
There's a man that was at home and he couldn't go to church on his own. So his friends was talking all that faith. Man, you got to get to the service. He said, take me to the service. So he got four friends. And they reached and got a cot and put him on the cot. And they just carried him like a king. They brought him to the service. But when he got there, it was a little bit too full. He couldn't get inside. So he was on the outside. And he said, no, I can't stay out here. It's possible that he might not know I'm here. So they began to ask, well, what do you want us to do? He said, well, I'll tell you what you do. Just take me to the roof. Take me up to the roof. And as they begin to take him up to the roof, they're like, now this is unusual. We never seen nothing like this. What do you want us to do when we get you to the roof? Say, well, not just what I need you to do is just kind of peel it back just a little bit. And so you need to peel back some of the things that you're dealing with. Just peel it back just a little bit. And instead, now after you peel it back a little bit, now what I need you to do is drop me. Just real easy. Just slowly drop me down into his presence. Jesus was having question and answer service. And when he saw this man, can you imagine somebody coming through the roof? And it would change the whole order of the service. And if it would change the order of our service, it certainly changed the order of the service back in Jesus' day. Hear this man coming down through the roof and Jesus just stops and looks. Never seen nobody with faith like this. The bondage that man was in, he was delivered that day. He was a prisoner that was released. Let's give him praise. It's time to release a prisoner. Turn with me to Mark 15. Don't let it just be Bible stories. But find yourself in the scripture. Identify with something. And if God could do it for them, then God can do it for me. Mark 15, verse 6. Some 2,000 years ago. This was a very special day that we're coming to church on and honoring our Lord and Savior this Good Friday. Very special day in history. As you all were listening to the tape earlier, and it said, it's just Friday. It's Friday. That's all it's just Friday. And Satan thought it was all over on Friday. But it was actually just getting started. But on that Friday, I just want to walk you through just a couple things, because there were some prisoners that were released on Good Friday. One of them was guilty just like I'm guilty. But somebody took his place just like somebody took my place. I just want to talk about Jesus. Look at this. Verse 6. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner. It's Passover again. At that feast, it was the Passover feast, right? At that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. Now, I need to ask a question. Who are you desiring to be released tonight? Is it your son? Is it your daughter? Is it your mother? Is it your father? Is it yourself? Who do you desire to be released? Because at least one prisoner. will go free tonight.
It was customary on Good Friday during that Passover. It wasn't Good Friday yet, but during that Passover time, it was customary at the feast that one prisoner got my, just one would be released.
You know, when Jesus dealt with the maniac of Gadara, do you know he crossed that stormy sea for one soul? He didn't go for a revival in the city. He came for one person. And you know, tonight I would come from Florida to preach this message for one person. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. This was a custom. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him who ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Oh my. Church, think about it. Some 2,000 years ago, this guy was guilty as guilty could be. The prophet tells us that the soldiers, after this decree came out that, you know, Barabbas would go free, the soldiers went down. He was sitting in his cell. Maybe the night before, he was thinking, "Tomorrow is my last day on earth. Tomorrow will, it will be finished for me. Wow. Can't believe this is how life ends." And he's sitting there just waiting for those soldiers to come and take him, amen, to crucify him. But coming to his cell this morning is a knock. The soldiers are coming in, and he's already downcast. He's poor in spirit because he knows he's getting ready to die. But the soldiers come in and say, "Hey, Barabbas, you're free." Free? How could a man like me be free? How could this happen? What happened? How did I get free? Said Barabbas, "See the man that's going up the hill." The prophet talked about the blood that was on his back, just the spot just getting larger and larger and larger, carrying a cross that he couldn't bear the weight of. It wasn't the weight of the cross. But I think what caused him to break down is the weight of my sins. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and he was saying, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." This is just the way I feel about it. Y'all forgive me tonight, but I want to tell you how I feel about it. But when he got to the part, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." I believe he got a good glimpse of Jack Duff. And when he looked through history and looked forward, he said, "Jack Duff gonna need me one day." And he looked at the Father, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Because you know why? I know Jack Duff gonna need me. Anybody need the Lord Jesus to go to that cross? Barabbas needed him to go to that cross. And that morning, that day, Barabbas was a prisoner that was released. Barabbas, how could it happen to me? Who am I that he would do something like this for me? And I'm so glad that the story didn't just stop at Barabbas. I'm identified with Barabbas. I'm guilty tonight. I'm guilty. But I'm so glad he took my place. As he went to that cross on Good Friday, sometimes it's, you know, you got to, it's good. I mean, you know, we don't want to die, but, you know, but this fella, two malefactors happened to be dying on the exact same day Jesus was dying. And you know, one of these fellas, he didn't really want to be that way. He wanted to be free, but he never had the opportunity. Oh, my God. So it happened. God just so fixed it that he would die on the same day that Jesus would die. Now I can imagine him, amen, in his mind just wondering, you know, how can I say something to Jesus? I'm not worthy to even have a conversation with him. I don't know what to say. Oh, hallelujah, church. I don't even know what to say, but how can I say something to this man, Jesus? And his friend that he never really wanted to be with in the first place. Begin to say, look, if you're Jesus and you can do all these great things, save yourself and us too.
He said, this is my opportunity. He said, look here, friend. We're dying because we deserve to die. But you don't talk about Jesus. You just take, I mean, whatever you get ready to say about Jesus, you just stop saying it right now. We deserve to die, but this man didn't do nothing.
That was his one opportunity to take up for Jesus. His one opportunity to stand up for Jesus. Tonight, somebody got the same opportunity. And he says, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. You know, Joseph said the same thing when he was in prison. This man was a prisoner to sin. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. Jesus spoke some great words to that man. He says, this day, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, I was certainly trying to leave Sunday for Sunday. But when I'm talking about Jesus, it's just hard for me to stop at Friday knowing Sunday's coming. Brother Fred was hitting on it earlier, and he just woke something up in me. I just had to go there where he was. But as Jesus descended down there, preached to the souls that were in prison and told them that they should have repented in the days of Noah, and they had a chance to hear the word but didn't repent. And now you see who they were talking about. Right? And as he, and Brother Branham said, he when he saw Satan, he just kind of put him in a chokehold and pushed him down and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from him. My blood is on the cross right now. The cross is dripping with my blood. I paid the price. I'm taking the keys. Every man was afraid of death until Jesus came. Huh? They were separated from God. No matter how good and how well they served God, they still went to this place and could not be free. But when Jesus died on the cross that day, he went down there, amen, into this place called paradise. And when he went to knock on the door, I hear Job say, who is that knocking at the door? Come on now, somebody. Job say, who is this that's knocking at the door? And Job goes up and peeks out and he looks and he says, oh, my Redeemer liveth. Abraham and Sarah say, oh, you don't know anything about him. Job, let us tell you who he really is. Let me look out the door and see this. And then Abraham walks out and says, oh, Sarah, look who it is. It's the same visitor that came to our house and gave us the promise of Isaac. He is here in paradise. Ezekiel said, y'all don't know anything about him. Now I've seen him and I know exactly who he is. Ezekiel said, step back and let me take a look. Yes, he is the wheel in the middle of the wheel.
Daniel say, move back everybody. I hear y'all getting excited, but let me testify. Let me get a glimpse of them tonight. Daniel say, that's the stone that's going to smite them out. And you know what else? He's the same one that was in my lion's den. The Hebrew boy said, now, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So let us talk about them. Move back, everybody. Let us take a look at them. And when they looked at Jesus standing at the door, they say, this is that fourth man that was in the fire. When this thief on the cross showed up in paradise, they walked up to him and they said, God bless you, brother. God bless you. And he says, I don't know anything about God bless yous. I don't talk that kind of language. I don't know where y'all get that from. I don't know anything about that. Well, how did you get here? All I know is that there was this man that was dying next to me on the cross. And I said, when you get to your kingdom, remember me. And all he said was, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And all I need to know is this paradise? If this is paradise, then he's going to be here. Well, if that's what he told you, why don't you come out and take a look at him? And when the thief on the cross walked out and took a look, that's the one that I saw on the cross. What I'm trying to get you to see is that they were prisoners that were being released. They were in paradise in prison, but they had to be released. There was one more witness down there in paradise. Oh, my God. I want to show you what he did. Says, y'all up there, y'all rejoicing? Y'all having a lot of fellowship? But if this is who y'all say he is, then we're getting ready to get out of here. Because I was under inspiration. And I wrote something in the scripture before he came. Said, I will not suffer my Holy One. Right? I won't suffer him. He won't stay in hell. And I won't suffer my Holy One to see corruption. I won't do that. I won't leave his soul in hell. And I won't suffer him to see corruption. The body within 72 hours will see corruption. So if this is who y'all say he is, then get your belongings. Get your stuff. Get rid of the world. Cast off the things of the world. Come on, get your stuff. Get ready. Because if this is who you say he is, we are the prisoners that will be released. If he did it for the thief on the cross, if he did it for the believers in paradise, then tonight he wants to do the same thing for you. Let the prisoners be released tonight. Woo, Jesus. David said, that's him. He says, yeah, David, that's exactly right. I can't break my word. Everybody get your stuff and let's get out of here. The Bible says he led captivity. Captive.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not going to go no further.
because I'll take Sunday from the preachers. All I want you to know tonight, it is time. There was a season of bondage, but tonight is time. If you're a prisoner to sickness, if you're a prisoner to addiction, if you're a prisoner to cutting yourself, whatever you're a prisoner to tonight, tonight is time for a prisoner to be released. Every head bowed. Father, Lord, I know tonight you would bring this sermon for a reason. There's someone here, God, that you needed to hear these words. And I pray, God, that some heart would respond to the message that you sent. Not only was salvation given to us at the cross, healing was also laying in Calvary. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon you. The Bible says, with your stripes, we're healed. Somebody is in prison to sickness. They want to be released. Somebody is in prison to sin. They want to be released. God, and there's nothing we can do. We're not strong enough to bring freedom. But through the spoken word, the powers of sin and the powers of hell can be broken in any life tonight. So we speak the same words that your prophet spoke. House of hell, give way to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, break the power and the yoke of the enemy in any life tonight. God, if somebody's even listening online, they're in their home, may the power of sin be broken. May sickness be broken. This Good Friday, we're not waiting on tomorrow. We're going to take it right now. God, I commit this congregation into your hands. The greatest anointing that was ever on any man is when you, Jesus, took the scripture, opened it up, read it, gave it back to the priest, and you sat down. I believe that same anointing is here tonight. God, set the captives free, as you promised in your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, if God has spoke to you today, I beg you, get from God what he wants you to have tonight. You be the prisoner that's released. Released from sin, released from pressure, released from debt, released from whatever it is, sickness. Be released in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn the service to your pastor.
Stand together. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Wow. What a good Friday. Hallelujah.
this week in the newspaper where a man had been held for 25 years in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. You probably read it and saw it. It was so pitiful as they brought him out of prison, and he was hugging different family members and all that and just weeping and crying because the evidence that they used against him is wrong. So they finally proved he was innocent and he was free. All those years of his life had been taken from him. And you think of how we were. The evidence against us was true. We were guilty as far as this man. But the real you never done it in the first place. Aren't you glad you're free? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. As our brother said, we don't want to just be free from sin, but free from sickness in your body, addictions, whatever it is. I believe that Lord Jesus is walking right here among us tonight. You believe he is? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord willing, tomorrow night, Brother Benny Perry will be speaking for us. And then Brother Isaiah Chisholm will be speaking for us on Sunday morning. So, Sunday's on its way. It's coming. Amen. So enjoyed the word tonight, didn't we? Brother Jack got started this morning about 4 o'clock. He came up here for one service tonight. He's going to be able to have a little bit of fellowship with us tomorrow and then heading back tomorrow afternoon around 2:30, something like that. So he can be in church on Sunday. It was a real sacrifice for our brother to come and be here. But I so appreciate him coming. I know you did. Hallelujah. So, Lord willing, tomorrow I'm going to take him to the airport. And he has to fly about 2:20 or 2:30, something like that. So, we announced we was going to have lunch at 12, but I think maybe if we could move it up to 11:30 before him and I could be able to be there a little bit longer tomorrow to be able to fellowship. You can be there at 11:30. We want to eat. Don't drag your feet. Get there. Let's eat. We don't want those that's cleaning up tomorrow to be wore out for church tomorrow night. We don't want Brother Benny to sleep, preach to a sleeping congregation. So we want to go and eat and get it cleaned up and get back. Having fellowship and dinner is good, but that's really not the main reason we're here. Amen. Amen. We're here to feed upon the Word. Amen. To each of you that's come, it's been our guest tonight. We are so honored that you would come and be in our gates. Thank you so much. We're just looking forward to the rest of the services. I'm going to ask Brother David Belton if he'll come and dismiss us in prayer. Brother David, if you would, my brother. Again, may I say thank you to one of you for coming. If you need an address for tomorrow, you can see any of the local people here, and we can get it for you, the people in the library, to come over for lunch tomorrow. Service tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and then again on Sunday morning at 11. Amen.
Amen. Let us all bow. Truly, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fellowship here on this evening and appreciate our brother Donnie and his wife and family and the saints here of Like Precious Faith and all the ministering brothers here and the saints that's visiting from different places, Lord. We just thank you for each and every one of them. And we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for our brother Jack, how you've used him tonight to bless our hearts and our souls. Oh God, being changed from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from grace to grace, even by your Spirit. So as we leave this building tonight, but never your presence, we just pray that you keep us. And we thank and praise you, Lord, praying for the rest of the services that you may have your way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this special occasion. We thank you for these services. Father, we appreciate you in all things. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we thank you and we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out. World of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Found out he would bring me out. Show me the way. I've been washed in the blood.